with us this morning. Father, we are here ready to worship you, God. We thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you that we can raise a hallelujah in this house this morning. Father, we thank you that when we sing, the enemy flees. We thank you, Lord, when we lift our hands and praise and worship you, God. The enemy can't stand Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage you this morning just to worship. The reason that we are here is to worship the one true God. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
As we prepare and go into a new song, you like to learn new songs, by the way, right? Yeah. So this is an amazing one here. The title is He Worthy? Am I on? Okay. Okay. Sorry, it's a new microphone. We're working through that issue. But the principle comes from Scripture, of course, as all of our songs do. Is He Worthy? It's found in Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. John is writing these words. He says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, who is God the Father, a scroll. It was written inside and out, back, and it was sealed up with seven seals. And I saw an angel proclaiming with a loud voice." And it's funny because this is one of the few questions in the book of Revelation. There's very few. But the angel poses this question: who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to even look into it. I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion is of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome so as to open the scroll and its seven seals." Praise Jesus. Church, I'll tell you what, that needs to excite us. That needs to encourage us that Jesus Christ is the only one in the universe that was found worthy. When the angel said, "Who is worthy?" the question is, He is. Amen? Amen. So sing that with us. He is worthy. Jesus Christ is the only one worthy. Let's sing it.
Do you feel the world is broken with you? Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
That all the dark won't stop the light from getting through.
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
A new creation coming.
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Nope. anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, He has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is He worthy? Worthy. We thank you, Father. I know we've sung this song a number of times, but really think of the words this morning as you are singing and praising God. In the second verse, far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. This mountain that's in front of you this morning will be thrown into the midst of the sea. But through it all, it is well with our soul because of God, because of who He is. Amen.
So let go, my. God, that you don't always take us out of something, that you take us through it, that you're with us every step of the way. And in fact, you're testing us at times to see if we'll turn to the right or the left, to really see what we're made of when we're squeezed or pressed. To see if we'll still choose you, to see if we'll still declare your promises over our life, to see if we will hold on to you, or if we will revert back to ourselves and take control of our lives and do it ourselves. I thank you, God, for that inner confidence that is gained when we stay the course, keeping our eyes on you. We don't learn to withstand evil and trial and tribulation unless we've entered it. We don't learn to fight battles unless we've entered into them. We don't learn how to do deliverance or walk in the Spirit without engaging and walking forward, doing it. We can read about it all we want. We can read about how to fight a war. We can read about how things happen if we do this or that in the Word of God. But until we actually do it, it doesn't become us. It stays in our head. And it never makes that 18-inch drop into our heart. Because when we have that confidence, when it makes that 18-inch drop from our head to our heart, that's when it becomes you. That's when it becomes the inner confidence. That's when it becomes something that you can walk through anything and you know God is in your heart, not in your head. And walking through it, and you can say, it is well with my soul. Walking through things when you just want to run, when you just want to lash out, when you just want to take control. Can anybody relate?
Yes.
But it's the Holy Ghost that reins us in and brings us in to follow Him, to declare Him, to rely on Him to take us through. There is nothing that can take the place of the inner confidence of Jesus Christ living inside of us, fighting our battles, healing our wounds, the wounds of the heart, the diseases of our body, the things that we face that we have no answers for, but He does. Come on, amen. He does. He has the answers. And letting go of everything that we can do or try to do and allow Him to do it. just what we talked a little bit about on Friday night during Rosh Hashanah. And we talked about Hannah. She couldn't make that child. She couldn't make that child come. She couldn't create that. She couldn't make that happen because God shut up her womb. That's what it says in the Word. But she still believed God and she still declared the promises of God over her life. She had the inner confidence that God was who He said He is. And it was that inner confidence that drew her to her knees to cry out unto God for things that she knew that God would give to her if she stood and believed. That's what God is asking of His body today. To believe that He is who He says He is, but He's looking for agreement amongst His people. To not try to do it on our own. Whether it's personal things in our life that we've cried out to for, or whether it's things of the nation right now that we're crying out for. See, the cool thing about Hannah was is that she was crying out for a child. But God moved on the heart of a woman that took a hold of the Word of God. And He brought forth Samuel, the prophet, that turned the tide of the entire nation. Do you understand that? God is looking for a faithful, holy people that will cry out to Him and trust Him. And then He does exceedingly abundantly beyond anything that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in who? In us, the Word says. That's right. This morning I want us to make the connection in our hearts of being faithful to God. He brings forth things that we're not even thinking about because God is drawn to your obedience. He's drawn to your prayer. He's drawn to the depth that you want to go. And He'll bring forth things in your life that you couldn't imagine or dream. In John 17, when Jesus is talking about the oneness and He's praying for them to be one, like He is one with His Father, He says, I have given them your message. And that is why the unbelieving world hates them, for their allegiance is no longer to this world, because I am not of this world. I am not asking that you remove them from the world, but I ask that you guard their hearts from evil, for they no longer belong to this world any more than I do. Your word is truth, so make them holy by the truth. I have commissioned them to represent me, just as you commissioned me to represent you. So God, I pray this morning that as we press in to you, Lord, that we trust you, that we rely on you, that we declare your promises over our life. That God, we would know in our hearts that is representing you. Being one with the Father. So God, I pray this morning, God, your word goes forth into our hearts. That God, as we become one with you, as we press in, God, for your promises over our life, over our church, and over this nation, God, that the faith would rise in our hearts to know that it's so much greater than even what we ask as to what you're doing in our life. God, I pray that you enlarge us, that you enlarge our focus, God, to know that you're working in so much greater ways than what we ever realize. I'm reminded of the word from Phil Cappuccio. And he said we needed to break the small fish tanks, I think, or it was something about that. It's so much greater. It's so much larger what God is doing. So, Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for reminding us of that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You guys can be seated. I'm going to be reading in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live." So Jesus went with them, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. I'm going to move down to verse 35. The part that I'm skipping is where the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed of her affliction. And I'm going to pick up in verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat.